keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Word of God says there is one Spirit, there is one body, even as we're called in one hope of our call. One Lord, one faith, and one
baptism.
One Father of all, who is above all, He is
in you all,
through all, and
in you all.
In you all. So we say, praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. We thank God. Amen. For His goodness and mercy.
Yes.
Amen. Our scripture reading will be come from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And I don't know how these other ministers do it when they get up here. Minister Simon. Minister Simon's kind of like a natural.
Mm-hmm.
I should have grew up a preacher's child. Right? He's all right. He's like a natural. No matter what he does, he can do it. Amen. And I said, Anthony Elvin Mackey, but man, when I get up here, I have like so many thoughts. I'm like, Lord, where am I going to go? Amen. When I'm prepared, I did. Lord knows I prepared a message. And then it changed.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. All right, Lord, have your way.
Right.
Then that one changed. I can't change the whole thing. Amen. So then the next message changed. So this is, I believe, what God wants us to hear.
Right.
This kind of ties all the other messages up together. So we're going to read Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verses 1, and we'll conclude by reading verse 11 together. You all have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
Let us start. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Every valley shall be exalted,
and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The boy said, cry.
And he
said, what shall I cry? All
flesh is grass,
and all goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain.
O
Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength.
Lift
it up, be not afraid.
Say
unto the cities of Judah,
behold your God.
Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand,
and his arm
shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd.
He shall gather the lambs with his arm,
and
carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this afternoon, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, we thank you for being God. Lord, as the psalmist said, we have many questions. Lord, there are many misunderstandings. Lord, there are some things in life this afternoon that we just don't understand. Lord, but as the psalmist said, it was not until we went into the sanctuary, then understood us our end. Lord, speak to us in the sanctuary. Lord, the questions. Lord, the bewilderment, Lord, the things that we do not understand, we ask you to speak to us through thy word. Now, Lord, we trust and believe, oh God, this afternoon, that you heard our humble cry. Father God, today, while on
Jesus' name.
Amen. And may be seated. I'd be like, man, now I gotta drink water before I start. Hope it's not a sign. Nevertheless, we're going in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Man. Life as it presents itself. Many times, it presents in a confusing way. It presents in a way that we just can't seem to understand. Habakkuk the prophet. And the meaning of Habakkuk means to wrestle or to struggle with. Habakkuk's name means to wrestle or to struggle with. And then indeed, it reflects the whole tenure of his message as a minor prophet. Habakkuk observed the environment that was taking place around him. And Habakkuk went to God in his own private way. He said, Lord, I'm confused. He said, the wicked reign over the righteous. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, we've heard from ancient times how you are God and how you can make a way. And we've heard all that our forefathers have said about our God and the ways that you can make out of no way. He said, but Lord, now I don't understand. Though they are blessed, those are blessed and called good, wicked. And those that call evil good seem to be blessed. And Habakkuk, as he wrestled with God concerning the issues, he said, now, Lord, when I know you and I know that all of I heard about you, Lord, you are pure eyes that behold evil, iniquity, and wickedness. He said, God, that's just not in me. So the Lord said, Habakkuk, the essence of the message is you take care of your business. And God said, I'll take care of my business. He said, write the vision and make it plain. So he that readeth it may run. He said, for the vision is yet for an. He said, what I put in the book, it will happen.
That's right.
Well, what I spoken in your life shall come to pass. Yes, God said, I'm not a man that I should lie, neither am I the son of man that I need to take an eraser and correct my mistakes. He said, I'm God. He said, so write the vision and make it plain, so he may run that readeth it. He said, but I need you to do something, Habakkuk, in your misunderstandings. In your confusion, Habakkuk, I need you just to wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody this afternoon feel like I'm confused and don't understand? Lord, I thought it would be getting better, but things seem to be getting worse. I had the testimony in the past of how I got a word from God, and in me getting that word, I had joy down in my soul. I had joy, amen, reigning in my soul. He said, but something has happened. God says, still wait on the Lord. Mm-hmm. And be amen. You know, sometimes in waiting on God, I'm trying to get here. I'm going another way already. I said, y'all got to get a preacher. I got to write some notes now. Amen. I'm going away from where I'm supposed to be, but I'm going to try to get back here in a minute. Right. Say, wait on the Lord and be up. God never told us to wait and be crying and sorrow and depressed and oppressed and down in the valley like we have lost everything. Wait on the Lord and be a good bird. And he shall.
Strengthen thine heart.
Hallelujah. It didn't say he might. It didn't say God may. But it said that he shall strengthen thine heart. And the psalmist thought about it again. He said, therefore I say, wait, I say.
On the Lord.
On the Lord. We got a lot happening in the church and in our families and all around us. But it's time to still wait on the Lord.
Right.
So back again, just so we can get to this. God told us to write the vision to make it plain. And as God reasoned or wrestled with Habakkuk, it's not like, I know the first thing he did, he was wrestling with Jacob on Friday, right? All right, I know she used that because she hit me with that. But we're not talking about that type of wrestling. Amen. Well, Jacob had a hold of God and he said, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you show up on my scene. Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you touch my circumstances. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. But this was a different type of wrestling with Habakkuk. And as Habakkuk wrestled with God, Habakkuk realized in his quest to understand spiritually, you know, the natural doesn't mean anything to God. We serve a spiritual God. We live in a spiritual world. And when we get to heaven, it's going to be a spiritual place.
Right.
Amen. So the natural is secondary to the spiritual. Habakkuk spiritually was wrestling with God. It wasn't a physical battle. Just like many of us today, we got a spiritual battle. Lord, the good that I thought I would do, I don't do it. Lord, the things that I purpose that I would not do, I find myself doing. It's not a natural battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's something that's happening down on the inside that nobody can see but you and God. Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. When I think of the goodness. Anybody ever just think of the goodness of Jesus? Anybody ever look back and see where God has already brought you from? Lord, that's why I love the sound that says amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Lord, well, why do you love grace so much? Why are you talking about grace? Because I once was lost. Thank God, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but God now I see. Amen. The songwriter goes on as he's expressing this amazing grace. He said, through many dangers, thorns and snares, Lord, I've already come. Anybody been through some stuff? Has God made a way for some people out of nowhere? Amen. How you look back and say, my soul looks back and wonder, how I got over. Thank you, Lord. But it was amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I wasn't always in church and always doing the right thing and didn't always have a pure mind. But it was amazing grace. Hallelujah. That saved.
Jesus.
Anybody here saved this afternoon?
Hallelujah.
It wasn't because of your goodness. Paul said it wasn't from your works. But it was because of God's grace.
Yes. Yes.
And it was a gift that was given to us of God.
Hallelujah.
I got to get back to where I'm supposed to be.
Great job.
Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, they looked at me. You know, when I was growing up, a lot of people said, I'd never amount to anything.
Come on now.
Never be any good. Amen. Always picked everybody else over me. But what they didn't realize is I had a personal relationship with God. There's something about not just a passing or just something about just a surface relationship. The reason that most people give up on God is this relationship is too passive. It's too much of a surface relationship. We have not purpose like the Apostle Paul that I may know him.
the oneness that encompasses, and encompasses more than just coming to church and speaking in tongues and praying and shouting. Amen. And in me knowing him, I gotta be conformed to the fellowship of his suffering. To know God means we go through some stuff. To know God means there's some things that we don't understand. Amen. In knowing him, we must conform to the fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. What was the confirmation to Jesus' death? In Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about when he realized that his moment was coming. That he sought the Lord. You want to conform? We got to follow the example. Peter said, follow in the steps that he's already left. The problem in the church today is we're trying to find some new steps. Hey man, we don't need nothing new. Because Solomon said, in truth, there's no new thing under the sun. All we have to do is follow in the steps that he's already left on record. Amen. Well, Lord, what did you do? When I realized the anguish, when I realized the test, when I realized the challenge that was before me, amen, the Bible said he went down on his knees and he prayed till his sweat was as blood because he needed an answer from God. The problem that we have, we don't want to walk in the steps. We don't want to conform to what he's already left on record. We keep trying to get some new stuff, a new revelation, a new way. There is only one way. Hallelujah, there's not ways. Stand ye in the way. Not ways. Not a whole lot of different directions. Stand ye in the
way.
One way. Amen. And see and ask for me what he's already done. Don't look for anything new. Amen. Lord, I don't know what to do. Then I'm going to go to the old path.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I don't need to read what some book somebody has put, because the only thing we just read is going to abide till the end is the
Word of God.
Thank you, my Arthur friends, for your encouragement. Amen. But I got to go back to someone that Arthur can finish my faith. And the Arthur finisher of my faith is God. So authors and novel writers, I thank you. Hallelujah. But I believe the songwriter when he said, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody pick you up like Jesus. Can't nobody turn your life around like Jesus. So I'm going to go back to my author. Hallelujah. I'm going back to the one that has Arthur and
finish.
I say he is Arthur and
finisher.
Now a whole lot of these writers today, they can argue.
They ain't finished.
But I can't read the back of the book and find out that I win.
Right.
There's only one book. Right. Hallelujah. I said there's only
one book.
One book.
Yes, sir.
When I start reading in the beginning of Genesis, and then I slip on through to Exodus. Amen. And then I follow up through to the New Testament. Then I get to the book of Revelation. There's only one book. When I get to the last word that says we win, and that book is
Bible.
That book is
Word of God.
We're looking for all answers. But we're looking in
wrong places.
The wrong places. Cosmopolitan, Inquirer, People Magazine, all that stuff is entertainment. Somebody said, when I need an answer, when I need a help, I go to the source.
Yes.
The source of our deliverance is God.
Yes.
We're back to Isaiah. I told y'all I'd come back. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah verse 1 says, comfort ye,
my people.
God's desire for all of us to be comforted. Amen. Only comfort we can get is through the Word of God. Amen. You know, you ever call your best friend up? Or maybe you call the pastor, the assistant pastor, the minister, and after you get on the phone, you still don't have no comfort.
Yes.
Amen. But then, as I heard Sister Tracy and her testimony, when God puts you out there where you don't have those dependencies, where you don't have those crutches to lean on, then it's just you and
God.
And we get that confused and think that when God puts us out on our backs, or when God puts us in our lion den, or when God takes us through the fiery furnace, we think that it's because God is angry at us. Hallelujah. But I believe that God has let us go through some stuff so he can give us some comfort. Amen. Because in the midst of our trial, in the midst of our test, God will pour out some grace.
Yes.
Somebody said, why do I need grace? Because grace is God's help when you
need it.
It's not God's help when you want it. Grace is God's help when you
need it.
So Isaiah says, comfort ye, my people, says the Lord, verse 2. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare. God said, you know what? All that stuff you've been going through, all those battles and fights that you had, God said, they're now over. They've been accomplished. The things that I've appointed for you to go through, they're now over. Amen. And he goes on to say that her iniquity is
pardoned.
God says, whatever you've been going through, because you came to me, it is now pardoned. All of us know what a pardon is, right?
Amen.
You're guilty. You were supposed to be in this situation for life. But I didn't have to go to the governor of New York. I didn't have to go to the governor of my state. But I went to my God. Though the sentence was executed against me, God said, they're not in control. So God said, you deserve, and I've given you double for your trouble, but now I'm going to pardon you. Lord, thank you for your pardon. Lord, thank you for being a waymaker. Lord, thank you that you don't hold my past against me. Lord, thank you that you don't hold my faults against me. Lord, thank you that you don't hold my mess ups against me. Lord, thank you that all the times that I should have been doing, thank you, hallelujah, that you don't hold it against me. Somebody say, God cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. And in the book of Hebrews, he told them, your sins, your iniquities, your faults, your failure. Lord, say, I don't. Said, I don't remember them anymore. God can pardon. God can forgive. Amen. I don't care what kind of sentence that the judge gives you. The Lord lets us know that God is the judge of all the earth. And though they may have executed something against you, then God is still going to our Father. Amen, because he is our shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Right.
Amen, he maketh me. Talking about comfort ye my people. When things are rough, man, when things are rough, he maketh me to lie down in
green pastures.
Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Anybody need some green pastures? Anybody need God to do something for them? It's time to come to God. You know, all of us, a lot of stuff happened to us, and we say, yeah, I forgive. but some things happen in Kansas, that something resurfaces in your mind. That's why I'm so glad God is God.
Yes, Lord.
Those things that He's pardoned will never be brought up in our face again because of God.
Yes.
When He pardons, when God forgives, even though the world may bring it up, the devil might bring it up in an accusation against you, when the Lord looks at it, He said, now they got it right. They confessed it, they forsaken it, so I washed it in the blood. Since it's going through the blood, you can't bring that back out because I washed that sin away. I've forgiven their iniquity. I have pardoned them, and you cannot bring it back. Comfort ye my people. Amen. Let's go down a little bit further. Actually, go down to verse 11. And then hopefully I can quote the latter portions. This is what our God does in comforting us. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but just do an inner search. Are you struggling with some stuff? Anybody feel like you let God down? Anybody made some promises that you have not kept? Anybody come up to the altar and ask God to do this and to do that, and when you left, you said, God, I'm giving it to you, and left out the door and picked it back up? Yes. Well, this is what the scripture says. He shall feed his flock. Lord, I'm glad I'm in the flock. I'm glad I'm in the flock. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. And because God wants to comfort us, you're too weak to help yourself. You're too weak to get back to where you need to be spiritually. So what does God do? He picks us up and carries us in His arms. Somebody said, how you moving and you're not doing anything for yourself? God is carrying you in His arms. My God has picked me up. My God has turned me around. I was going the wrong way. My mind was messed up. My thoughts were messed up. The direction I was going was messed up. But God picked me up and He turned me around. Now I'm on a path called straight. So Isaiah goes on to say, He shall gently lead those that are with young. Who can do it? Only God. Yes. Scripture says, our God shall come.
Yes.
Whatever you're experiencing, I can't understand it. I can't figure it out. You won't be able to figure it out either. But our God shall come.
Yes.
In the midst of whatever you're suffering, in the midst of whatever you're dealing with, just trust in God. So why would I trust in God? Because have ye not known? Thank you, Jesus. Have you not heard that the everlasting Father, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is He. I said, can't nobody be that but God. And then in your weakest point, down when you're so low, down when you don't even want to look at yourself, amen, He said He's given power to the faint and to them that have no might. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you, hallelujah, that you will increase my strength. Somebody said, well, I wish I was young again. Well, He said, even the youth shall faint and utterly be weary. But they, I said, but they that
wait on the Lord.
Anybody in some trouble?
Uh-huh.
Anybody need some help? It's time to
wait.
It's time to
wait.
But they that wait on the who?
Lord.
Can't wait on the pastor. If I could, I would change everybody's situation, including my own. But I can't help myself, so I lead you. I will die. We read earlier that he will lead those with
young.
I can't lead you. I can direct you, but only God can lead me. That's why the songwriter said, where he
leads me.
Where he
leads me.
I will
follow.
Well, how far are you going to follow? Now, a lot of us started with Jesus a long time ago. A lot of us started following.
But the devil set some traps. And when we got to the traps, because we didn't fully understand spiritually what was taking place, some of us detoured. Some of us have gone off the path. It's time to kill those detours. It's time to get back on the main path. We started, amen. But then in our minds, we couldn't understand as we wrestled with God like a man. Things did not add up, and we just could not understand. And when we reasoned with God, it still did not make a lot of sense. And Habakkuk, in the end, you know, 1 and 2 are interesting. Chapters 1 and 2 are interesting. Somebody said, where is Habakkuk? It's in there. It's in the Bible. It's only 3 chapters. It starts off in misery. Winds up in confusion, but then it ends with rejoicing. Habakkuk, after considering God, he said, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Amen. Anybody feel like your fig tree has lost all of its blossoms? You don't have any blessings. The fig tree shall not blossom, and the labor of the olive shall fail. It said there won't be any fruit in the vine. This is when Habakkuk finally came to himself. He said, there won't be any fruit in the vine, and the flock will be cut off from the fold. Amen. Habakkuk was looking at it saying, things look bad. My situation has not changed. It doesn't seem like there's no blessings anywhere. Amen. He said, neither shall there be any herd in the stall. Everything that we need for life seems like it's missing. Amen. The thing I depended on the most, I do not have. But he went on to say, yet will I rejoice. Things may not be what you want them to be, but it's still time to rejoice. He said, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Forget about those material blessings. Forget about all that external stuff. It's time to rejoice in the God of my salvation. Why? He said, because God is my strength. See, y'all got to go beyond those first, those last two. Y'all got to get to the last book. Last verse of the scripture. It said, because the Lord is my strength. You don't have no strength outside of God. He said, and he will make my feet like hind feet. And because God is my strength, he will cause me to walk on everything in my life that's trying to hold me down. Nothing like God as we sing. We all need comfort. We all need strength. If I can encourage you to do anything today, don't leave God. Don't try to do it by yourself. Because the scripture says that God will comfort his people. Anybody hear people of God? Come on, give God a wave off. Amen. Maybe I don't see it. The husband and the wife don't see it, but God sees you giving him this wave off. Amen. Lord, I'm weaving so you can see that I'm in harmony and in agreement with the word of God. Lord, I need you. Amen. The praise team sang a song earlier. If it wasn't so late, I'm going to ask. sing it again. Said, I love you, Lord. You are all I want. You're all I need. I love you, Lord. You're all I and you're all I. If that's your testimony, God will be there for you. But if you got something else that you're seeking after before God, if there's something else you desire before God, He won't come and rescue you. Because He's all I want, because He's all I need, and I love the Lord, He rescued. Anybody need rescuing? Anybody need God to do something for you? Then it's time to hold on to God. We're trying to fix our own situations, and we're leaving God out. Making decisions without God. God says, now it's time, as we reason, it's time to come back to God. Hallelujah.